Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We begin today with a scandal that has gripped the music world for the past week and a half. The late pianist Joyce Hatto was described as one of the greatest pianists Britain has ever produced. And maybe she was, but we're not sure, because dozens of her recordings have come under suspicion of being stolen from other artists and sold as her own, like this performance here, now attributed to Laszlo Simon. Well, today, the story has taken a new turn. Joyce Hatto's husband and head of the label that released her recordings has penned a letter confessing to the hoax. Gramophone magazine first reported the story, and Gramophone editor James Invern joins us from London. James, you read the letter by William Barrington Koop. Why did he do this? So you've read the Barrington Koop's letter.
I didn't actually read the letter itself. I had the detailed gist of it given to me by Robert von Bahr, who's the head of BIS Records, who own and produce the Laszlo Simon recording of The List. And he came to us with the fact that he'd had this letter and let us know. And we were, sadly, our suspicions were confirmed. But the reasons he gives in the letter are incredibly emotional. There is just the question as to whether you believe them or not.
Right. Joyce Hatto was stricken with, was it ovarian cancer?
Yes, it was,
And was having great difficulty performing, and he claims that he just decided to help her along a bit initially, and then it seems like he went progressively further away from helping to wholesale theft of other recordings.
Well, it sounds, doesn't it, almost like one of these classic cases of someone, I'm not in any way comparing it to Nick Leeson, the famous fraudster who they made a film of with Ewan McGregor, who just did a little bit of bad share dealing and then got hooked on it. But certainly there is a little bit of that sense of getting hooked on your own cleverness, I think. According to the confession we have, Barrington Koop did this, as you say, because his wife was in pain when she was playing, more pain than she'd admit to anyone, even herself, and she was emitting involuntary gasps or groans of pain. So he tried to source recordings of pianists who he thought sounded like his wife and patch, essentially, put in little bits of those other recordings over the offending passages. Mm-hmm. And then for ease of editing, he just did longer and longer passages. However, there do remain question marks. We don't know. We don't have a full list as to what is Joyce Hatto's and what isn't. And when I spoke to him earlier today, he declined to give one. And we know for a fact from the various technical checks we've done, including absolute sound wave checks, so that you can literally lift the sound waves of one recording and put them on top of the other, and there's no difference. And to put that in context, even if you breathe twice, you'll have differences in the sound waves.
Right.
So we know this applies to whole recordings and many of them. So as I say, there are still big question marks over this story.
All right. James Invern is editor at Gramophone magazine in London. James, as you tell us, technology helped this hoax to begin with, you know, by being able to record or to, I guess, almost sample recordings of other pianists. And he was able to fractionally increase or decrease the speed, so it wasn't patently obvious to the listener what was going on. But in fact, it was an even newer piece of technology that helped to uncover the hoax. How was it first revealed?
Well, it is an incredible, I mean, this is the incredible irony of the story, which is not only one of the greatest scandals to rock classical music, but with all these twists and turns, is just one of the strangest. What happened was one of our writers, Jed Disler in New York, mm-hmm. who's a very fine critic.
And a composer and pianist himself.
Indeed. He had a tip-off from a reader who said, it's a very strange thing, but when I put these List Transcendental Meditations into my computer, and it comes up, at that point I think it was through his Windows Media Player, it comes up with the right title for the work, but it says it's Laszlo Simon. So Jed did this, and the same thing happened. And then he tried a Rachmaninoff disc, and it came up, yes, Rachmaninoff, but this time Yefim Bronfman on Sony, at which point he alerted us. And it seems what happened was that the system iTunes uses to give you the title of a disc when you're playing it is it looks at the timings of the disc which is sitting in its drive, and then it goes and looks at this vast database and matches up the timings to what it has in the records in this database. And the closest hit, it appeared, was Laszlo Simon and then Yefim Bronfman, and we've had it with others. And it was just Mr. Barrington Koop's awful bad luck, as he actually says in the letter, you know, that you know, as you say, he'd used technology to disguise what he'd done in many cases. And it wasn't, incidentally, always a very fractional slowing down or speeding up. In the case of one recording, a very rarely recorded piece by Godofsky, it needed to be disguised more heavily because there are only about four or five other recordings of it, and it was over 15% the time tampering.
Wow.
Which means that the piano sounded a completely different tone, and no wonder no one spotted it. So the great irony, of course, is that technology, as you say, enabled this, and then you never know with the further march of technology when it's going to come back and bite you.
So iTunes to the rescue here. You could fool the listeners' ears, but not the waveforms and all the rest of the stuff that's in the computer hard drive. Let's hear a little bit of what originally happened. We're talking about the late British pianist Joyce Hatto, many of whose recordings have now been, it turns out, were plagiarized from other pianists. This is the original recording of the fourth Transcendental Etude by Franz Liszt from the pianist Laszlo Simon. That's the pianist Laszlo Simon. Now, this is the recording of that same piece by Franz Liszt, which was released under the name of Joyce Hatto. So that was released, marketed, sold as a recording by the late British pianist Joyce Hatto. We now know that it was, in fact, plagiarized from the first recording we heard by Laszlo Simon. We're speaking with James Inverne, editor of Gramophone magazine in London, which first reported on this story. And James, I guess, given the confession of her husband to having done this, you alluded to this before. The next question is, how much of the confession do we believe? I mean, it's all very romantic and everything, but this guy has some shady dealings in his distant past as well.
Unfortunately, that is true. He was in prison for tax evasion for a while, and at the time, a very sort of infamous case here, and I think it was the longest-running, most expensive case at the Old Bailey here in London. And he had to pay damages of over £1 million in today's money. I suppose that has something of a bearing in that it may testify to something of his character, but who knows? The really sad thing here for the music lover is that in Joyce Hatto we had one of the great romantic stories of classical music, lady battling cancer for decades, but poured all her energies into these great recordings. Now, if what Mr. Barrington Koop says is true, well, it's still an incredibly romantic story, and some people may feel sympathy for him. You know, he wanted to give her, as he says, you know, the acclaim that had always eluded her during her lifetime, right at the end of her life. And there was something, when in fact it was Gramophone who first championed the recordings, and when he took the piece by our critic Jeremy Nicholas to his wife, and she murmured something like, it's all too late, but at least she knew about it. If that's true, people may have some sympathy for Mr. Barrington Koop, but in order to prove it's true, he's going to have to come forward with dates, with He's going to have to show how he dotted the I's and crossed the T's. And what is most important for his wife's legacy is he tells us and proves to us what actually was her and what wasn't her. Because otherwise, she's going to go down in notoriety rather than the history of great classical music.
Right. Now, his letter of confession, as you mentioned, went to the head of Bis Records, which was the pianist Laszlo Simon's label, one of the pianists who was plagiarized. He has told you that he's unlikely to press charges. I suppose, James, we're not really talking about, you know, we're not talking about something on the order of pop music where hundreds of thousands or even millions of copies are being sold.
Not at all. And particularly, you know, it was a little cottage industry label. Now, he has given figures. In that letter, he gave figures, and he confirmed them to me. The last something like 11 months, it was something in the order of 5,000-something discs sold, including non-Joyce Hatto discs. I mean, ones which didn't even purport to be Joyce Hatto. And in the year before, something in the order of 3,000. Again, I haven't seen any receipts, so we don't know whether we can trust those figures. But certainly it's fair to say we're not talking, we're not talking Michael Jackson here.
Right. So however, it's not about the money. It is really about the whole question of honesty and what you're representing, you know, both for yourself and for people who ostensibly you're trying to help.
Indeed.
In this case, we've been talking about the late British pianist Joyce Hatto with James Inverne, the editor of Gramophone in London. James, thanks very much for bringing us up to date on this.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to play a little bit of another side-by-side comparison here as we conclude this part of the program. In your left channel, you'll hear Joyce Hatto playing. In the right, you'll hear the same piece. This is the fifth Transcendental Etude by Liszt, in a original version played by the Japanese pianist Minoru Nojima. Already you can hear the two beginning to go out of sync with each other, but that'll do it for this first portion of our program, but it raises bigger questions. Does great music need to be authentic?